It's a year since the beginning of the milk price crash.
There's been a substantial damage to the trust that dairy farmers had in the way that they are treated by processors.
And while very little has changed in the way of reforms to the industry, the way farmers feel about their milk processors has fundamentally shifted. Coming up, the dairy crisis 1 year on. First, though, no one stages a protest quite like a French farmer. They're known to dump manure on the streets, spill milk over the European Parliament, and drive tractors through central Paris. Now, as they prepare to vote for a new French president, they want more government support and less French taxes. And they don't want an EU free trade deal with Australia, because imports are already too cheap and undercut French prices. One farmer in the Loire Valley staged a different kind of protest, sowing a giant plea for help in his field with wheat. Serena Locke spoke with the farmer Jacques Fortin, who sowed his field in November, large enough to be seen by planes carrying politicians flying into Paris. He explains it followed terrible harvests year after year.
I did it because we had three ugly harvests and we couldn't harvest enough money to sow, to plant again. And the year 2015... it was a good harvest, but the world prices for wheat were so low that we've lost money too. And 2016 was a very, very, very ugly harvest because we have lost more than 50% of the harvest with the bad weather. And prices are still very, very low. So we became poor because we have so many taxes to pay here that we cannot pay anymore.
Now, the European Union has the Common Agricultural Policy, and French farmers are big recipients of subsidies and assistance. Isn't that enough?
But subsidies now are used only to pay the taxes because Europe gives with one hand and France takes with the other hand. So the money comes in our farms and goes away. And we cannot use that money to live, to make the family live.
Are all farmers in this sort of struggle?
Most of farmers have the same problems, small farms, big farms. Because when you lose money per hectare, if you have many hectares, you lose so much more. We have so many taxes for everything. We have to pay taxes for water. We have to pay taxes for fertilizers. We have to pay taxes for chemical products. We are a machine to make money, and we make money for government, not for us.
Are the French presidential elections about farmers this time around, do you think?
I don't think we can believe in politics anymore.
Marine Le Pen from the nationalist movement goes in as a second runner to the centrist Macron. It's possible that Macron will win, and he supports strengthening the European Union with some reforms. Do you think that's enough?
I don't believe in them, because I'm looking at English who ran away from Europe. And I think that the English people are not crazy. They ran away to show Europe that they are in the wrong way.
So what is it about the EU that you don't support, given that it's French taxes that are a problem?
I think that European agriculture was a great idea, but after the Lisbon Treaty, we understood that we were in the world market. I would prefer staying in Europe and not going in the world market. French agriculture has nothing to do in the world market. We have a European market, and we have to make that European market working. We import proteins from States, from Brazil, and we could product those proteins here in France.
Has your help sign in your wheat field attracted a lot of attention back in France?
Yes. Yes. It has been fantastic. Most of countries in the world came here in my farm. I have received Russians, Germans, Spanish. I'm very surprised because they come here and ask what happens here. I couldn't believe it.
French seed and grain farmer Jacques Fortin speaking with Serena Locke. And the French Farmers Union confirmed this week that it will be opposing Europe's free trade talks with Australia. Now, are you still buying branded milk from the supermarket? Would you believe it's a year since milk processor Murray Goulburn made sudden cuts to the price of milk and asked farmers to not just take the price cut, but also to pay back the higher margins they'd been getting? The dairy industry subsequently went into meltdown, and a whole range of political inquiries, scrutiny from the competition watchdog, various class actions and investigations by ASIC sprung up. And while consumers initially responded with their buying power, turning away from the supermarket branded milk for those private labels, they've since returned to traditional and cheaper habits. But as Warwick Long reports, those who are still farming say they're still picking up the pieces.
I'm very tired. I've had too many sleepless nights. I've had to make too many hard decisions. No breaks, nothing. You know, it's just been really hard.
Di Bowles is a dairy farmer and Murray Goulburn supplier in the dairy heartland of northern Victoria. On April 27, 2016, thousands of farmers like her learned they were having their milk price slashed, and worse, extra money was going to be withheld to repay the company.
And I actually found out from social media before I got the lovely email from Murray Goulburn, and it was really shocking. To be honest, I actually didn't believe it was true. We just completed probably 3 months prior, just bought the neighbour's farm, bought more cows to milk, had really looked at ramping up a production, put staff on, done everything the industry was asking us to do with the hope of a high milk price. Everything was just taken away from us.
1 year on and farmers are still doing it tough. Many aren't getting paid enough to cover the cost of producing milk, and the bills are still adding up. Di Bowles.
Constantly looking for money. Money was pretty tight at the time they dropped the milk price. I did a cash flow budget last week, and we're down $149,000 so far. Yeah, a lot of money.
Lockington dairy farmer Paul Weller has been a state politician, head of the Victorian Farmers Federation and former director of Murray Goulburn. He's a believer in the cooperative and is part of the soul of MG, but he's moved on.
I was a bit disappointed last year when I think we'd been misled, and I'd gone out and paid for me grain, paid for me water, paid for me hay because it was a tight year, and then to get told it 2 months before the end of the season that, oh no, you shouldn't have been paying that much. It's just not good ethics by the company to lead us astray thinking that we had this extra money that we didn't have.
So you, as a former director, with your father also with a big involvement and your grandfather involved in the company, decided that you're going somewhere else?
That's right.
Did you feel more pressure making that decision than, say, the average dairy farmer?
Well, being an ex-director, it's not good. It's not good to leave the company. And a company that I'd, spoken very highly of for a long time, it wasn't an easy thing to do. I did ring a director before I left and said, now, hopefully there's something I don't know and that they'll be back. And he said, no, the price is what it is. It's unfortunate the others are paying more. Yeah.
How have you felt about that decision as this year's gone on?
Oh, I've got used to it. It's the milk tanker still comes each day. And I get a cheque once a month, and it's never enough, but I still get a cheque once a month.
When Murray Goulburn dramatically cut prices and triggered the dairy crisis, scorned farmers wanted retribution, and political leaders were quick to promise them the world.
Well, I've been talking to people from the Murray Goulburn yesterday. I understand it completely. I'm going to be going down there. I'll be doing what I can to assist. I understand they're hurt. We're going to try and get down there. We're going to try and see what further we can do.
The Australian Securities and Investments Commission started investigations to see if the board of the company had misled investors. The competition watchdog, the ACCC, launched its own inquiry to see if the company had mistreated suppliers. And the federal government promised financial assistance for dairy farmers and a new code of conduct to help them deal with processes. But nothing is as simple as it seems, and none of these have progressed as far as farmers hoped. Adam Jenkins is the president of the United Dairy Farmers of Victoria.
What happened last year, let's make sure it never happens again. But you know, here we are 12 months on and we're still waiting for the first investigation to sort of be revealed. Now, we know it takes time. We know that they need to do it thoroughly. We respect that. But we're now 12 months on and we're wanting some resolutions.
When it came to federal government assistance for farmers, it was difficult to get and a lot of farmers simply gave up. In the area of concessional loans, $100 million has been loaned out to 177 successful applicants, 118 other applicants missing out. And the farm household allowance, the Centrelink payments to keep food on the table, were found to be impossible for many farmers to navigate. A lot gave up after spending 6 months or more on hold to Centrelink, filling out paperwork and submitting documents without any success. Independent member for Indi, Cathy McGowan, was scathing in her assessment of the government's help.
It would be easy to blame Centrelink, but Centrelink are delivery arm of government. So I think it falls squarely on the government to say that this mechanism is not working. But I just don't see government owning any sense that they're responsible for the way the whole mess is being managed.
The ACCC is progressing a market study into the dairy industry in response to the dairy crisis, which is due to report this year. ACCC Agriculture Commissioner Mick Keogh is keeping his cards close to his chest about what it will say.
So we're now in possession of a great deal of detailed information about the dairy industry. Indeed, I think probably more information than we've had since the industry was deregulated. So that inquiry and the outcome of that inquiry, I think, will be quite important for the future of the dairy industry in Australia.
And there's been a lot of talk in the industry about a code of conduct between suppliers and processors to ensure better treatment of farmers. Some, like Renegade Farming Lobby, Farmer Power, want this to be mandatory to enshrine protection of farmers in law. But the traditional dairy lobby has other ideas. It wants a voluntary code, with an aim for it to be in place by the new milking season mid this year. Meanwhile, the man at the centre of the furore, former Murray Goulburn Managing Director Gary Helou, who lost his job when his management of MG triggered the dairy crisis, has remained largely hidden. Mr Helou finally made an appearance via phone to a Senate inquiry into the dairy industry. There he made jaws drop when under questioning he admitted he had not been contacted by ASIC as part of its investigation.
I have not been approached. You've not been approached by any of the relevant authorities in relation to those allegations that investors were misled in relation to the prospectus?
No.
That Senate inquiry is due to report next month. With many of its farmers giving up dairy or leaving for other companies, milk supply to Murray Goulburn has fallen dramatically, and the company has started its own review of whether all of its processing plants are required. The regional Victorian towns of Rochester and Maffra have the most to lose, with many tipping those factories will be lucky to survive the review. Despite that, Paul Weller is excited for the year ahead and thinks the worst has passed.
Oh, I'm looking forward to the opening price this year. I think if a $6 price next year or thereabouts, and the price of the inputs, dairying will be quite exciting to be in.
Murray Goulburn declined an interview. The company has a new chair, a new managing director, and some new board members. Supplier Di Bowles hopes it's enough for the company to survive and for it to pay farmers what they're worth.
And we've actually chosen to stay with Murray Goulburn because we believe in the co-op. I think that for me going forward, they need to not try and be the best or the highest paid or whatever. They need to really look after the suppliers that they've got and make really smart decisions.
And that's Murray Goulburn supplier Di Bowles ending that report from Warwick Long. And as reported, Murray Goulburn declined an interview. Now, if you'd like to read more about those dairy farmers, there's some really amazing personal stories in there. You can also watch Di Bowles reflecting on her past year in the Goulburn Valley. Just head to the RN homepage and find A Country Breakfast under the Programs tab. A big thanks to Tim Symonds for technical production this week. I'm Edwina Farley. Stay with us for more great listening here on RN.